listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 23rd. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm very happy to be here.
So happy to have you. So happy to see everybody in our live chat. Always look forward to catching up with you. And, you know, appreciate everybody that sends in emails and things to listen to us from the archives. We appreciate your support also. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicalinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. 1 planet, 1 race, 1 ancestry, 1 destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, Dr. Vicki, I'm looking forward to tonight's topic. We're going to get into, you know, what is reality? What is truth?
Well, you know, let's go back for a minute and how the idea for this program came up was Michael is saying, what is truth? And I said, well, it depends on your reality. Of course, with Dr. Kelly's help, we came up with this, what is reality? But, you know, and I think your question is the perfect question to ask, Michael, well, like, what is the truth? But it is truly according to your reality. You know, my late teacher, Frank, would say that there are opinions and very few facts.
Yeah.
There's always opinions, but if we, go back to how we are raised, and I think what's really hard at this emotional rite of passage in your late teens, early 20s, you start getting more exposure to the world.
Yeah.
And it's kind of different in many ways from what you gleaned in your upbringing or your conditioning, what you're programmed to believe. So, you know, it's very few people who are raised, you know, with very open-minded liberal parents. And even then, you're still going to believe that most people live the way you did, act the way you did, believe, you know, it goes on because that's your only association. So that becomes your reality.
Yeah, and you're right. It's, you know, our reality is a lot of times the information we take in. And I think it's very easy to fall into a bubble. And I think I'm thinking about a lot of people in a lot of different bubbles in the modern online ecosphere, you know. And I think you're right. You know, there's very little fact and a lot of opinion in life. And I think that is something that we all have to be aware of and take account of. I think there is something that is objective truth. Objective reality that is just is what it is. It is objective reality that if you step off a cliff, you will fall. It's objective reality that, you know, blue wavelength gets scattered in, you know, blue white light wavelength gets scattered in the sky, giving it a blue hue. You know, these things are just objectively true. And where's the line? You know, where is the the line between, you know, where can we stop and say, well, this is truth and this becomes opinion. This becomes belief. And we all have beliefs, right? You know, at this point, you know, even with the astronomical probability, at this point we have to say we believe that organic life exists on other planets. Because we just don't have the proof yet. It's almost a certainty because of the sheer numbers. But, you know, so would you draw the line there? Would you say, yeah, we can say it's true that there's life out there? Because it just has to be. Just the numeric probability makes it so. So, I mean, that's kind of the dividing line. And then also, I wanted to touch base just on, you know, critical thinking and media literacy and thinking about, mm-hmm. you know, all the things you see from world events and news to scientific studies and to all the stuff on that, realizing, you know, the sources and where we get information. So we have a lot to cover tonight.
Well, and from my perspective, it's really about culture, circumstance, environment.
Yeah.
You know, it's our reality, let's say, in the Western world is very different than the Far East or, you know, other countries, depending on their circumstances, mm-hmm. depending on their politics or geopolitics, economics, and, you know, so there's so much in that way that, and to me, if we have even a moderate amount of compassion and critical thinking, then we can kind of, you know, wrap our heads around the idea that whatever I have is just my opinion based on my reality.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and to be open-minded enough to be able to say that.
And to admit it for ourselves and allow it for others. I mean, I think we've talked about how everybody has their own truth, right? Everybody lives their own truth, has their own truth. And what, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean that everybody's individual perception of reality is true? I mean, for them, but that's a matter of perspective too, isn't it? And, you know, that's where you can kind of also get into the semantics. And I love arguing about semantics, I tell you what.
Well, you know, Dr. Mike has already mentioned in the chat that he breaks it down to five areas that cover reality, which is scientific, which is what you were talking about, mm-hmm. Michael, philosophical, metaphysical, simulated reality and information theory. Well, that's kind of what you were alluding to, Michael, and psychological and subjective reality. And he says, which one are you referring to? Oh, all of the above. You know,
a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, you know.
Yeah.
C.
I mean, it's kind of, if as metaphysicians, we have to look at this in some form of analysis. And then, of course, bring it back to the self to say, this is just my reality.
You know? Yeah.
Because, you know, people often believe, you know, they feel bad for somebody who's had cancer, but it would never happen to me. Then you get cancer, right?
Yeah.
And it's based on your own experiences, which I think that's part of the psychological, you know, and subjective reality. But there's philosophy in there too, because you might have a philosophy that if you don't eat at McDonald's, you won't get cancer. You know, and trust me, I've heard that.
That's a belief, more than a worldview.
I think it's bonkers myself, but, you know, I mean, can't blame one thing.
Well, you know,
metaphysics, of course, is alternate. We can take that in many mm-hmm. different ways. And in some ways, religion is metaphysical, but they don't regard it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it kind of goes hand in hand. But scientific, I still say that it depends who the scientist is looking at that information and interpreting it. Because they're mm-hmm. still going to interpret through their own reality.
Yeah. Yeah, to be sure. And I think that's where, you know, again, you know, life is tough. Life is weird. It takes a lot to get through life, and it's not just the physical, mechanical act of getting through life. It's also the will and motivation to get out of the bed, to get out there and to do something instead of doing nothing. And, you know, if as long as it follows the nine principles, as long as it ultimately, you know, excuse me, as long as it's ultimately do no harm, you know, I'll even tolerate do no harm as long as, you know, fine. If you don't want to do right and be an active participant in making the world better, fine. As long as you can do no harm, you know, outside of our little group here, fair enough. But whatever people need to do to get themselves, you know, up, to get themselves going, I understand why people a lot of times believe what they do, and I'm sure I have personal things that I hold on to protect my, you know, my, well, what would you call this? Ego, my, you know, my idea, sense of self, my perceptions of the world, and being able to, you know, put one foot in front of the other without nihilism and things like that. So, you know, I get it. I think maybe we do need to cut each other some slack when it comes to, I believe in this, or I have this theory, or I think this might be true, you know, and even if it doesn't align with our beliefs, as long as, again, do no harm, hopefully do right, you know, fair enough. Whatever you got to say to get through it.
Well, you know, and I think that we are so bombarded with information, misinformation these days, that you have to have a really clear sense of yourself and have some critical thinking to go, huh, I'm not sure that makes sense. Yeah. Look, you get old enough, you see, even in the science department, you know, wine is good for you. Now wine causes cancer, you know?
Yeah.
Well, coffee's good for you, then it's not good for you. Oh, and now coffee's good for you because they did another study. Well, what's that study?
Well, I think it's important, you know, to point out right now that, you know, a lot of times these studies that we hear about them because they're on the news. And we didn't, you know, read them in a journal. We didn't go out and find them ourselves. We heard about them because they were in the news and it was on the nightly, you know, news block. They always sensationalize them. They always take them out of context. And you never hear about the source, you know, the sample. What was the study on? You know, like for alcohol, a lot of times they, you know, it was the pool size. A lot of the times they were putting down as moderate drinkers people who had been, you know, I can't remember the flaws in the methodology, but there were several. They kind of leads you to a slanted result. So, and then, you know, any scientist worth their salt would say, well, you know, studies can help lead to something, but one study in and of itself probably isn't going to tell you the truth, right? But that's what we hear. Some university does a study, and we hear, okay, this is what science is saying the truth is now. No, it's not. It's just one study. It might lead us to the truth eventually, but, you know, things were complicated.
But who's the study of? What slice of the culture did they get that study from? You know, what age group? What, you know, the list is long. Dr. Stephen is saying, should we all agree that we need to focus on metaphysical reality? Well, I guess we have to determine what is metaphysical reality, and we have to be careful when we say, should we all agree? Because the should, this is where I draw the line about imposing. Well, we should do this. Well, we should do a lot of things and we don't. But we have to be careful that we don't impose our own reality onto others. I think a metaphysical reality is one that combines philosophy and science, spirituality and perceptions of spirituality and science.
I mean, isn't that, I mean, metaphysical itself, is it not, you know, the thought of awareness, of human awareness, of, you know, what constitutes reality? Is there a difference between reality and metaphysical reality? If we're talking in semantics, well, we use metaphysical to label certain things, but to get at the heart of it.
Well, Dr. Mike has just added in the chat, too, that some traditions propose a non-material foundation of reality, such as consciousness, energy, or divine intelligence, which is what you just said to Michael. Eastern philosophies suggest that reality is an illusion and that pure consciousness or the void is the only true reality. In many mystical systems, reality is layered. Mm-hmm. Material world is just one dimension of a multi-level experience. Like, I totally agree with that. But he also led into that by saying metaphysics. Is there more than the physical, correct? Yes, and yeah. I think you just explained that, Dr. Mike, that it is a multi-level perception that we can have of the world combining a lot of different things. And as you said, like the Advaita, the Vedanti, Advaita Vedanti, the Buddhism, and, you know, it's, again, how we look at it. So let's narrow this down for a second, Michael. We're in the Western world,
mm-hmm.
you know, 2025. I think what is so astounding to me in how we've gone from a collective kind of consciousness with a few little bubbles of whatever
mm-hmm. yeah.
to now it's very fragmented. And there's a shift occurring, I think, that people are collaborating more. Whether, and let's talk politics for a second. Without politics, the very left or the right, you know, there's this group thing going on. It's kind of like you can say you're a Christian, but there's many different Christian churches. But you can all agree that you think you're Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what I'm observing is a collection, more of a collective psyche starting to brew where, let's just say democratic at rallies, everybody can agree. They like social programming, you know, they want for the people, of the people, and they're not necessarily corporate minded, but they like capitalism. So that's kind of all those things that they might agree on. And I don't think I've seen this kind of, as Canada too, a unity forming. I haven't seen that for probably 30, 40 years
mm-hmm.
of my life. And that's kind of from a sociology perspective, I think that's kind of cool to see. But there's nothing like stress to join people together.
True enough. And are you referring to like classical liberalism being like, i.e. the Western mm-hmm. kind of world order and things like mm-hmm. the post-World War II Western NATO type stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think based on a cultural conditioning, I think it was pretty easy to formulate behavior or what you anticipate mm-hmm. as a behavior of people. And of course now it's just gone, you know, who can predict that? Anything goes.
Yeah.
And it might be leaning in the other way now where people are starting to, you know, maybe get some manners, civility to some degree. We'll always see pockets of otherwise, but and this is the point, too, when it comes to a culture or politics, whatever science seems to be so-called revealed, discovered, whatever, it's mm-hmm. going to still be based on the beliefs of that culture, whether that's religious, political, whatever. It's still going to be based on that. That's what you're going to see. And the story, I know I've told it before, comes to mind so many times in my life, where I told my late friend Emma, who at the time, I think she was in her early 80s, this is a long time ago, I said, you know, I saw a spirit come to me, and it was a lady in a blue dress, and she said, oh, the Virgin Mary came to you. And that's her reality. And all I said is, oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, boy, that Virgin Mary is a busy girl up there.
Well, when you're supernatural, you know.
Yeah, you can be in 100 places at once.
I feel like that touches on like a comment from Donna. Did you catch that? Where was that from her? But regardless of the level, my reality would always be my reality, not necessarily anyone else's reality, right? And, you know, I guess this is kind of where semantics come in. Like, yeah, I would call that, you know, perspective. Like you said, you know, you tell the story, she says, oh, the Virgin Mary. You can say something about an apparition or you saw this thing, right? And then based on your culture, your background, you say, you're going to determine how to identify that. Mm. You know, so I think what you could say is objective reality, somebody witnessed a supernatural event. The perspective of it would be, how do they interpret it? What is it?
Mm.
A ghost,
yeah.
Virgin Mary, a spirit elsewhere, things like that, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, I get caught up in semantics, and I love it so much, and I love etymology and all those things so much, because words matter. And I don't think so much in the way that you have gotchas of, oh, 1,000 years ago, this word used to mean this by people, so now obviously it must have that connotation. No, but words have weight in our society, and words are a constantly, language is a constantly shifting thing. But in our society, it is, words only have the meaning that we give them. And words are all weighted different ways, like entitlements. Now, these days, we kind of think of entitlement. You say, oh, he's entitled. It's a bad thing. It didn't always mean that. It used to just mean things that people were entitled to. Then it was, he thinks he's entitled to that, even though he's not. And then it becomes, oh, he's entitled. You know, it kind of gets shortened and shortened, and now it has a bad connotation. And so when we're trying to accurately describe reality and have these discussions, that's why I kind of get caught up on the semantics. So that's my rant about that. I know everybody loves hearing about semantics on the radio.
Yeah. Well, Donna has said, my reality will always be my reality and not necessarily anyone else's, right? With a question mark. Until you experience somebody else's reality, and then your reality is altered. We're always altering our reality, our perception of reality. I think in life, everybody has their own ride to experience, very individual, but we're all in a collective, which lends to what Howard has said. Would the collective consciousness be based on tribes? To which Dr. Mike has answered, he thought that was a very insightful question, and he said, and yes, the collective consciousness can absolutely be viewed through the lens of tribes, especially when you consider both ancient origins and how human cognition evolved. And, I mean, what a great discussion for those in the archives. If you ever get a chance, you know, to come into live chat, it's a pretty cool thing. But it's... And, you know, Jackie is saying, to be collective, wouldn't it have to be a big tribe or just a few together? Well, now we talk semantics, right? Mm-hmm. What's considered a big tribe?
Yeah.
Is that 50? Is that 100? Is that a million? You know, what is that? I think if you have even your own community, let's say, you know, you live in the suburbs and, you know, there's maybe 1,000 people in your burb. You're going to have a collective consciousness in that suburb, or you live in a gated community. You know, now you want to talk tribes, you can consider that to be a tribe if we use the word accurately and not necessarily just through indigenous like interpretation.
Yeah.
So I think that,
you know,
it's considering that we kind of contaminate one another.
Well, I don't know if I'd use that word for it. There you go, influence, yeah.
But there is such a thing as contamination.
Yeah, it's subjective, though, right?
Well, and contaminate could mean racist parents raising their kids to be racist children.
Yeah.
That's a contamination.
True.
And how the imposing of those beliefs onto others. That's a contamination. That's kind of where I'm going with that.
And I think it's still ultimately subjective. It's contamination if you have the values that we have, that we can, I think, point to some empathy. You know, we can use our empathy, use our critical thinking, our logic to say, this is objectively immoral based on these values, right? And I think I agree with you on that point. And that's kind of, again, where it comes down to the semantics of it. Mm-hmm. But
I'll talk to you. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Dr. Mike has added, philosophically or metaphysically, maybe not limited to tribes,
well,
leading
and,
back to that.
And that's exactly what I was about to say is, you know, when I come back to that question, I'm thinking about concentric circles, right?
Yeah.
Where you have influence and it, I guess, ties that bind us that become stronger with the closer unit, right? Family.
Yeah.
Town. City, nation, state, whatever you want to call it, then on and on and on.
But he's adding, if there is a deeper field of awareness connecting all beings, now let's take this right to a metaphysical level. I'm going to say it again. If there is a deeper field of awareness connecting all beings, like the new sphere, the noosphere, morphic fields, or universal consciousness, then tribes are just localized expressions of a much wider net.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa. I mean, that's when we do, from a metaphysical point of view, there is a universal consciousness. And I like his term, these localized expressions of mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's a better way of saying what I was kind of trying to get at. And this was what I was kind of thinking earlier on, too, when we were talking about this and the question of my reality and tribal and things like that. It's, I think life is complicated. And because life is so immensely complicated, we have to understand that with our, unique human perspectives, we're one among billions in the galaxy of billions, in a universe of trillions upon trillions, so we only have one narrow view of the entirety of it.
Well, I think life is simple, to be honest. There's cause and effect, action, reaction, natural law. It's, and I think Dr. Stephen said this earlier in the chat about our views of reality kind of with being human,
Yeah.
It's like humans complicate it. Because we have this built-in something, few somethings built-in, that want more, better, greater. We want to compete. We get lazy. We want herds instead of going hunting. Stuff like that. Start to change things.
You call it lazy, but ranchers, that's hard working, especially back in the day when you had to fend off predators actively, too. We've kind of made it a simplified process over hundreds and thousands of years. But,
The more you have to feed, you want to bring back enough. So you say, nah, I think I'll keep a few of these in a fence. And that, it makes sense. That's evolution.
Yeah.
But, it's, this is where talking about reality can be a very complex subject. And yet, to me, it's pretty simple. My reality is my reality. We're going to talk about this next week. Michael came up with a great topic for next week, folks, which is about memory and how we remember things. So I got three kids, and they all remember childhood different. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm not quite sure where this leads to. Dr. Mike said, I will not shut up. I'm not sure what that's referencing, but it tickled me nonetheless.
Well, that's because we have to get him on the show again.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I mean, we should have had him on this. Hey, let's see. We got next week, then we got Dan will probably come on the week after. We're going to strong arm Dr. Mike and come on in a few weeks. So everybody message Dr. Mike on Facebook and things and bombard his DMs. Get him to agree to come on with us in a few weeks here. We'll make it happen.
Yeah. So Howard has said he's been thinking about the universal consciousness concept as a carrier wave, that permeates the whole of existence. I can actually visualize that.
Yeah,
accessing the information encoded in the carrier wave requires spiritual technologies, which may manifest as abilities we call psychic. I can buy into that. Totally.
Yeah.
One of the ways that for about the last, 10, 12 years, I haven't done readings in my home. Everything is remote. And when that happened, when I made that shift, I found tuning into people different. And I did it numerically. It's not that I'm a numerologist, but if I get their birth date and I find out what the cycles they're in, it's something out there happens. And I do see numbers. And somehow those numbers connect. It's kind of hard to explain, but kind of how Howard is describing that is essentially what I feel I experience. It's tapping into a code, and as long as I tap into that code, it's not so difficult then to do the reading. Otherwise, I have to work a little harder.
Yeah.
But man, there's a code. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just saying. I like it.
I do.
I like that.
And that's kind of the tricky thing with something so massive as existence. When we try to, conceive of it, imagine it, we have these wonderful analogies we can point to. I did love the visualization of the carrier wave. I kind of think that mixed in with kind of the metaphor of the you know, web of interconnectedness. You know, I think the carrier web going out along the web, the net, that kind of binds us all and kind of goes out in waves. It's an interesting thought, visualization. It's fun times. Yeah. And this has been a great discussion.
It has. And, you know, Damien's added, what about reality as a projection, like Aristotle Cave, or more recently, everything may actually be projected.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
I mean, we can come back to, you know, that's I think, therefore I am. I may be a simulation, but I am a singular entity in said, you know, simulation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting stuff. And I love digging into these questions you can't answer. And I tell you.
Dr. Mike is thinking that Howard might be referring to the Akashic Record, which you can call it that.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a thing. So, as long as we can appreciate that others have their own reality and that's their experience, we can have compassion. Where I draw the line is when we impose our reality onto others in some kind of negative way. Do no harm, do right, of course. You can have the freedom to express what you feel, but to get in a war zone with people, you know, over who's right and who's wrong, that's when we've crossed the line. That's where the boundary is.
And a lot of times, drawing that line about where does objective truth stop and opinion come into play is, you know, more art than science. It's a lot of times a judgment call. But I think we have to cut each other some slack. And, you know, as long as you're not doing any harm, you know, people want to believe what they want to believe, you know, give me that right. You know, let me hold on to whatever foolish notions I have that help me get through the day, and I'll do the same for you, and we'll have a better world.
You know, on a personal note, you guys, I went to my pain doctor today. I have bone spurs in my neck and osteoarthritis. So I go in and I get injections. Trust me, it's not pleasant. But this doctor is an angel doctor. He's such an angel, and he really does believe. He'll talk about, he said, the people need most to be heard. Ho-ho, novel, you know, and he said, I'm here to serve.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, once I get, he freezes these nerves, and I sit up and I go, oh, good God. And he goes, it never gets old for me. Freeing people of pain brings me so much joy. To make your life better. This man is so good.
Yeah, it was noble. Michael.
And then, of course, he quoted something in the Bible. and I thought, okay.
Yeah. Like, whatever gets you there.
That doesn't go over well. But he's a good man.
Yeah.
And he serves in a good way. I don't care what he believes.
Yeah.
He believes in being good.
yeah.
And first and foremost, if we can believe in doing good, being good, and I truly believe this, and take it for what you will, we all answer for what we do here. In some measure or form,
God, I hope
we answer for what we do. And, you know, that's, I don't know, I've thought that as even as a child, that I don't know if it's karma so much. I'm not crazy about that word, but it's whatever we are now, when we leave this body, that energy is still there.
Yeah.
That's part of the spirit. So it's it goes with us. It's like we don't get off the hook when the body's dead.
Well, I sure hope that's true anyway. It's nice to believe, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I could go on about that, but we're going to pick some cards here.
This is true.
But I just wanted to share that story, that just because somebody believes in something else doesn't mean they're not good in their core.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, a lot of people I love in my life will still debate the validity of the moon landing and things like that, but... Mm. You know, and hey, that's something that I can have fun disagreeing with you about. But, you know, of course, then we all draw our personal lines and da-da-da-blah-blah. But, you know, you're going to have more fun with a fun discussion than you are shutting people out. And as long as they're not breaking some of the core principles and, you know, the nine principles there, have fun with it. Have fun with life. It's a whole big wild bag. You know, entertain some fun thoughts and have fun with talking with one another. And we are going to be pulling some cards at that time of the evening. I do want to just do a quick shout out. We are having the IMHS and the TFU graduation ceremony a week from Saturday on May 3rd. So keep an eye on your dashboards, on your student logins, keep an eye on your emails, and, you know, all are welcome to support our graduates, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. I have to say this. Damien has said Hecklefish doesn't believe in the moon landing. And for those of you who don't know who Hecklefish is, I happen to know, is if you look up the Y Files on YouTube, I've watched this guy off and on now since he got started during COVID, W-H-Y Files. And it's he's got a really good program and very investigative and entertaining. But talks about a lot of different stuff on there. You'll like it.
Interesting.
Howard is saying, is the graduation in person or online? It's always online,
yeah.
Howard.
Yeah, good shout out. Good point. Yeah. Good question.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, we have Damien first for an inner oracle self-discovery card, Michael.
Well, Damien, for your inner oracle self-discovery card, you get number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it's necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Oh, you know, I haven't pulled this card in a very long time, and I don't like people to freak out about this tarot card. The devil. Now, boundaries and the devil, which is simply that place of gray, confusion, conflict. It just means, I think here, you might encounter a situation where somebody is imposing, Damien. And you might have to question where your boundaries are or impose your boundaries, and hopefully in a good way that's not antagonistic, and we know you wouldn't, but he just did the little devil thing in the chat. That's funny. It just means, I want to say it's just a heads up about dealing with perhaps a confrontational situation or a difficulty with someone. And I don't know, I get a man in my head. He just said his boss. Thank you, Dr. Vicky. Okay. I'm thinking your boss is male, if you want to. And I just got a picture of this man in my head. I'm not going to go into all the details, but just know your boundaries and stand in a good way, and you know how to handle it. So, you know, there we go. We have Howard next, Michael.
All right, Donna. Do we have Donna Somerville Sales, or did I write her down wrong? Let's
see.
I said I had Donna next, actually.
Oh, did we? I'm sorry.
I can't find it, but I'm going to roll with it anyway. I'm pretty sure
Donna.
I jotted it down that way. All right. Donna, for you, you get number 39, education. Always an immensely important thing. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Oh, how nice is this? You got the world. So I'm gonna go with this. Your worldview might be changing. Donna, how you perceive things, you might even be looking at back at your life and seeing it differently. Just it's like a worldview. I don't know any other way to say it. It's like a paradigm, in a way that an education has brought you that, and you keep learning about things on top of what you've been learning, and it's one thing after another. Trust me, it'll slow down at some point where you can digest. Like you say, oh, wow, I don't know if I can handle learning anymore. But it will. It'll slow down because your unconscious, superconscious, whatever it might be, knows when to just stop and take a rest and digest. But I think it's a really great thing. So thank you for that feedback, Damien. And I won't add all the adjectives.
Adjectives can be fun, though, but I get what you mean.
I'll leave that alone. But thank you for that, Damien. Okay, we have Howard, right?
Yep. Howard, hopefully you like this one. I get number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can always change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Well, you know, the Eight of Spades, I refer to it as one of the back cards. You have to use your intuition. You may feel confined or constrained in some way where requires to gain more information. So meaning and purpose, the Eight of Spades, I'd say you're taking inventory or something, or there's some thoughts stewing in the back of your mind that haven't quite come to the front yet, and it's just a matter of time. So meanwhile, just kind of roll with it and follow those gut feelings, Howard. It's that timing, of course, is everything, but some new information is coming your way, and it's going to be good. I had to affirm that because
that's good stuff.
Okay, we have Jackie.
Jackie, for you, I have number 35: one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake; it's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
The Chariot. So that's another of the major arcana. Three out of four cards are major arcana. So that one world, one destiny, the Chariot. Going forward in life, I want to say for you too, Jackie, you might have an insight, somehow a new perspective, but a macro perspective rather than, and it comes down to the micro expression too, like in your reality, but seeing something, and look, I'll be really honest, there's a lot of people, I don't like people, but I love humanity. If that makes sense. Well, when you see it in the macro, I'm in love with the human potential. I you know, can see all the good things on the earth and the wonderment of nature. So it might be for you that there's some kind of shift in that way, a oneness. That's the word. I don't know if you have a spiritual epiphany. Something shifted. So. That will then be brought down into your own reality where you're moving forward in a new way, in a very positive way. Like you're the better manager all for those having those insights. Thanks to Howard for that feedback too. It's a bit of a life shift for him. He's in transition and the cards align with his current reality. Cool.
It is.
You're getting there, Howard.
I like it.
One thing at a time. So we have Kevin.
Kevin, we have a very fun card for you tonight. Considering the topic, we have number 24, Truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that we often, that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truth kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection and to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
You know, truth with the Jack of Diamonds, that Knight of Pentacles, the first thing that came to me is having a realization about your present work conditions or the work experiences, finances, and doing a review of it. And maybe doing some tweaking, Kevin, or wanting, I don't know, three times it's come to the front of my head, that you might want to make a change of some kind. Maybe it's leaning, not so much doing something different, but for somebody else or in a different way. And that's what I want to say, but it's also with financial benefits that the consideration. So I'd say that you're leaning in the right direction.
All right, very good.
Mm-hmm. Audra, we have Audra.
And Audra, for you, I have number 34, take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Huh. Eight of Hearts is a perfect kind of harmony in that for a message, Audra. Eight of Hearts, that Eight of Cups. You know, when you just have to take inventory of the situation and say, those are not my monkeys, not my circus, you know, and move on, just carry on. And it might be one of those, might just be one of those moments where maybe this is coworkers or subordinates and, you know, now, yeah, I mean, things are going well, it's going good, but, you know, people are people. And you say, no, I got better things to do. And I feel like my sense is that's a really good choice in the circumstance. So, and thanks to Kevin, he said that message made sense for him. So, I appreciate it, guys. Oh, we got dogs. As I've said many times, I have no idea what I'm saying when I say it. I just, the first things that pop into my mind. So, it's, because any card, any of these symbols can have many meanings. What I appreciate is that the inner oracle card gives that lead in, because these are complementary languages talking to each other, and I can put that together and say, oh, because if I just picked out the world, for instance, by itself, it's too many places I could go all by itself. But when I have something like for what we had for Donna earlier, education in the world, I say, oh, I know what that message is. It just happens. So, yes, a couple of people have been asking, and you want to go ahead with this, Michael, asking about Wendy.
Yeah, no, I wanted to just throw a shout out to our card keeper and to anybody that didn't know offhand that's listening. Wendy is somebody who is, almost a constant presence with us here every week, and you are missed, and she's not with us because she unfortunately recently her cat passed away. And any of us with, you know, furry family know how much that hurts. So it is just worth saying that you are missed, your absence is felt, and our heart is with you right now going through that.
Oh, and Wendy, she's got quite the zoo at home, right down to a pig and everything.
Mm.
Dogs, cats, pigs. Yeah. And she's got, you know, quite the little animal acreage going on, and it's all family, you know. Hard to lose them.
It is at that. So just wanted to make sure we put that out there. So, you know, it has been a very fascinating discussion tonight.
Yeah.
We pulled some good cards. I'm looking forward to our discussion next week, which kind of ties in, you know, memory, our view of it, how we process time. So ties to our concept of truth and reality. So, yeah, we're looking forward to having that discussion on memory and time. And then, of course, we do have the graduation a week from Saturday. Just another plug for that. And, yeah, so we have some good stuff coming up. We're going to harangue Dr. Mike into getting back on here. We'll have Dr. Doug Kelly join us again. So good stuff coming up. But it is that time of the evening, and, you know, we're going to be signing off here soon. But any last thoughts or, you know, comments, Dr. Vicki?
You know, I do want to add this. Jackie is put in the chat. She completed her degree. Congratulations again. Excuse me. She's completed her, and my macro is to bring awareness to humanity about the legacy of evil. Well, excuse me, I have to cough. You know, darn allergies. The legacy of evil, I'm all right.
All right.
The legacy of evil, that's a whole discussion unto itself.
It really is.
But I don't think you can talk about that without the legacy of good.
Yeah, well, and that is kind of part of our, you know, it's kind of our universe, right? There's so many things we can get into, and that is a discussion unto itself. You know, what is evil? What is good? And, you know, that kind of lie between the chaotic and the orderly. And you can have evil on either side of that, right? It's always the balance in between. So many philosophical questions. And I'm mostly just vamping and trying to fill air here. Well, Dr. Vicki gets a drink of water or clears her throat or something. But, there's some great points.
Well, again, everybody, don't let them push you around out there. Meaning, don't change who you are because things could be stressful.
Yeah.
You know, tense. You know, just be you. Stay who you are.
Absolutely, well said. So with that wonderful advice, I'm going to say we look forward to seeing everybody next week. Looking forward to this good stuff coming up. And until we see you next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.